Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. We are going through the book, Seven Ways to Choose Healing, and it seems like you might feel quite all put together and then something catastrophic happens in your family, and you might need to review Seven Ways to Choose Healing. This little book is by Stephen Arterburn, and we've interviewed him a couple of times. So I think it's a great way to begin a restart in our lives. We are talking about the acronym RISE, which stands for, R is for the things that you can reduce, like stress and conflicts and negative patterns and substances. And I stands for increase. You know, you can increase self-awareness. You can increase understanding of others. You can increase your connection with others. You can increase your healthy lifestyle and increase your time with God. And today we're going to talk about E. E has to do with the word eliminate. Eliminate. Eliminate addictive behaviors. Eliminate a critical and judgmental spirit. Eliminate certain repetitive sins in your life. And I think that's probably one of the hardest things to do. Anyone familiar with AAA, Alcoholics Anonymous, the idea is that you will become free of your addiction of drinking alcohol. But we are addicted to our sin, our repetitive sins. Our repetitive sins might have to do with fault finding. That is a repetitive sin that's very hard to get over, because if we can find fault with somebody else, it makes us feel better about ourselves. Or maybe the repetitive sin of procrastination, because we just maybe don't have the courage to do what needs to be done, or we don't think we'll be able to do it correctly. And so these repetitive sins, we almost need to go to an AAA program to get over these repetitive sins and replace them with good habits. So as you're looking at seven ways to choose healing, think about what you can eliminate for this new year. I know I have some things I want to do. Well, we're going to pray now, so if you will pray with me. Our dear Heavenly Father, we hold up to you a praise, a family where every member has got COVID, and their weakest member, who they thought was the most immune compromised, has just gone through the COVID experience without all of the problems they thought they were going to have. They're really praising you, Lord, for that. And I am too, because I know that not all have fared so well. We pray for the turmoil in this nation as we transition from leaders to other leaders with different philosophies, and we just ask for peace to reign. We pray for this show and the success that only you can give, the resources that you can give, and the words that we talk, that they be your words. All this I pray, Lord, in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. I thought maybe for the next few days I'd talk about different crafts you can do, that the theme is snowflakes, you know. Snowflakes are so beautiful. I like to catch one on the sleeve of my black jacket that I can see is perfectly formed, and I have a wonderful picture of one that I found. But today we're going to talk about making salt snowflakes, and the site on my Pinterest, MR Gamblin 2, that site there, I put it in Forest Classroom, and I put it right there at the top. You need salt, glue, and watercolor. And it also comes with a printable, which I always like when I can print something. But you don't have to print it. You could just have the kids draw. It wouldn't matter. Just do it on firm paper. So once they draw their snowflake, then they are going to take glue and trace the whole snowflake in glue. Then once they've done that, they're going to cover it with salt, the whole thing, then shake it off, let that dry a little bit. It doesn't have to fully dry. And then you take thick watercolor, not real thin watercolor, and you just dab it. It spreads out. The salt absorbs the moisture and brings it into it. So pretty soon you have this lovely salt crystal snowflake that could be in many different colors, and you can decorate around your house. I like to decorate with a snow theme. You know, get tired of all the reds and greens and the tinsel and silver and that kind of thing. But when January and February hit, it's nice to still have winter themes. So I like the idea of making different kinds of snowflakes and really studying how you make a snowflake. In our curriculum corner, we're talking about ways that you could use Google Classroom in your homeschool situation. And what I like about it is that I can preview certain YouTube videos and put that into my lesson plan right in the classroom. So just to refresh our memory, you would go to the Google Classroom icon, which is a series of 9 dots by the circle with your name up in the right-hand corner. And there you'll find a lot of apps. This is where Google Apps stores all of their things. When you click on that and you look through the apps, you will find an icon that looks like a little chalkboard. And if you click on that, you will be given the option to add a class. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now where you would go to add that class. It's kind of obscure at first because it comes up, and then beside the icon app array of 9 dots, there's just a little plus sign. And at that plus sign is where you click on that, and you can either join a class or create a class. So here you could create a class. You can create it for one student, or if you create this class, you might be able to invite other homeschooling families to join you in this class, and it gives you a way to have assignments that are shared by everybody, and it also gives you a way that you can meet and look at each other. So I'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow, but don't rule out Google Classroom as a feature or as a tool to help you work with your students of various ages. I particularly like it for the older students because maybe I'm tired, but I run across a good video clip that I want them to see the next day. I put it up in their Google Classroom. You can go to my Pinterest site, MR Gamblin 2. I'm just beginning a technology board, and I've put a good overall video on how to start Google Classroom there. And I think you will find it something very helpful as you develop your curriculum for your children. Questions parents ask. Well, someone's asking about if you have a prayer board for your classroom. And I think every family should have something like a prayer board. It's a really cool way to focus on where the source of all our power comes from. And there's all kinds of ideas. I'm putting it in the Bible Crafts. You can go to my Pinterest if you want to see my ideas. They range from having clothespins with little envelopes hooked to them with different categories that your children can put in their prayer requests or their praises, to more elaborate boards made magnetic with different categories. So sometimes you're praying for your nation, and sometimes you're praying for family members, and sometimes you're praying for your schoolwork. Sometimes you're just praying for individuals, and sometimes you're praising God for certain things. So you can have all these different categories. Whatever you do, it would be wonderful to involve your children in developing your own unique prayer board. So rather than looking at my ideas, maybe sit down and brainstorm, what would a prayer board look like with the materials that we have here at the house? You know, maybe we can take a wall that we haven't done anything with and make it into a beautiful prayer board, not just with our prayers, but looking through scriptures at prayers that those who were inspired of God, that they prayed, or promises from God, and make those scriptures really beautiful, or take those scriptures that you are memorizing. One of the things that I'm doing with my students this year is all of the memory verses that we are working on have to deal with having faith as opposed to fear, having courage, knowing that God is giving us the peace that passes understanding. So that's the whole theme for the whole year is courage, fear not, God is with us, because now more than ever we need to be fortified with that power that only He can give. So you could make a theme for your board. You can just talk with your children and really help them to have ownership. The more ownership they have in their educational plan, and the more buy-in that you have, they are your true stakeholders. So you really gain a lot of benefit from including them in your curriculum planning. Well, that concludes my advice, so take it for whatever it's worth, and please stay tuned for the second half of the show.
Hi, Grandma.
Well, hi, Mariam. Did you come to visit your old grandmother?
Oh, Grandma, you're not old. You're just very mature.
Sounds like something your daddy would say. So tell me, sweet granddaughter, why did you come to sit on my porch on this lovely spring evening?
Actually, I'm here to talk to you about what it's like to be you. My teacher at school wants us to find some interesting characters in our town and ask them about life.
Well, I'm flattered to be considered interesting.
Okay, question one. What was your greatest achievement in life?
That's easy. My son, your daddy, he grew up to be a fine man.
Dad? He's your greatest achievement?
Yep, and fruit salad. People really like my fruit salad.
Fruit salad. Okay, question two. If you could live your life again, what would you do different?
That's a tough one. Probably some would say, I don't want to make the same mistakes. But it's our mistakes that teach us the most. So I wouldn't change that. And I'd spend more time praising and less time complaining.
What do you mean?
I'd spend more time thanking God for my blessings and less time complaining to Him about my problems. Most of our problems are the result of our making bad choices. So why complain to God because we messed up?
Thanks, Grandma. You know what? You are an interesting person.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him.
Welcome back. I'm here with Dr. Everett Piper from Oklahoma Wesleyan University. This is located in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and we're talking about a recent event where one of the students took issue with a chapel talk about the love chapter, and that started a whole chain of events. Let's take up where we left off yesterday. Yeah, and part of that generation, maybe they are the Zennials. Anyway, part of that generation does tend to think in terms of not themselves. Like it's always somebody else's fault. It's always caused by somebody else. And
well, so the generation, again, it goes back to the problem here. They've been taught that there's very little consequence for their own personal decisions and their own personal beliefs. That it doesn't matter what you believe as long as it works for you. How many times have we heard that? That there's value neutrality and moral neutrality. Everything's neutral. Everything's nihilistic. Everything is mush. Nothing has any substance to it any longer. You just float along through life with no consequences, no challenges. Nothing's right. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's up. Nothing's down. Doesn't it smack of Isaiah where he says, "Woe unto you who call evil good and good evil and bitter sweet and sweet bitter"? Isaiah is warning us of this time. He's warning us of this day when we lose all ability to care about anything any longer, to the point where we just shrug our shoulders and say, whatever. It's the whateverism of our culture.
So I promised the listeners that I'd ask about if this changed anything with what you and your faculty did going forward.
Well, it didn't change anything in terms of what our teaching paradigm is, because, again, the four pillars of Oklahoma Wesleyan University are very clear. We teach the objectivity of God's truth. We teach that the Bible is inerrant. We teach that truth is given by God, not by you, not by me. And we expect people to practice what they preach, be men and women of integrity. We tell them not to be segregationists. Don't separate things that should be unified. Focus on the unum, not the pluribus. In other words, focus on the first things of unity. It's called a university, by the way, for a reason. University. It's not called diversity. It's called a university. Why? Because it's unity of veritas, unity of the verities, unity of the first things. That's a university. We don't dumb down the definition of education to divisiveness and division. And that is what you get when you focus on diversity rather than university. That's a sidebar there.
Well, yeah, and that brings up, you know, I've had some guests on that really talked about how these diversity studies in universities were creating more problems than solving them.
Because they're self-centered rather than selfless. Anytime you focus on victimization, and anytime you teach victimization, you're going to get vengeance and vice as the result. You need to focus on virtue and veritas if you want a virtuous people. Vengeance is always going to digress to the self-expression of feeling victimized. And what is that going to be? It's always going to be a recoiling, a reaction against those people that you feel offended by. It's self-centered rather than selfless. It focuses on me rather than the Savior. The right way to approach today's problems is to tell people you're not God, God is. So stop worshiping the God you see in the mirror and start looking to the God you see in the Bible. That's the solution. Don't elevate yourself so that you can be in charge of your own vengeance. Doesn't God tell us vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? Well, what you see in the victimization culture today is the complete ignorance of that passage, where they actually charge themselves to be instruments of vengeance rather than trusting that God will take care of that while they submit to him in a selfless fashion rather than honoring him as Savior.
I'm talking with Dr. Piper about a recent event at his university where a student took issue with the love chapter in Corinthians and his book, Not a Daycare. I know that some of my listeners would be saying, I would like my students to go to that university. That's the kind of university I want. I've been homeschooling my child, and I would like them to go there. So what do they have to offer?
Well, first of all, let me give you the contact information so that anybody considering that can easily get a hold of us. Go to our website. It's www.okwu.edu. www.okwu.edu. Now, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Dr. Everett Piper. That's DREVERETTPIPER. That's how you would get a hold of us. Now, what does Oklahoma Wesleyan offer? Well, it offers a classical liberal arts education within the context of those four pillars: Christ, Scripture, Truth, Wisdom. We're recognized by U.S. World and News Report as a regional best, a national best, actually. Forbes.com, likewise. And CBS News Money Watch recognized us for four consecutive years as having the best faculty in the nation. We've got 45 different majors that would be with everything from accounting to ministry. So I would welcome anybody looking into us, because we are one of those rare institutions, very few, a handful left, that actually believes in those four pillars: Christ, Scripture, Truth, Wisdom.
Yes, I was going to ask you if you had a statistic on how many universities do believe in those pillars.
Oh, it's interesting. Now you're tempting me to get into trouble, okay? I'm not one to recoil from that. So I'm not going to name institutions, because that would be Bush League. But I will say this. This is my industry. I know what goes on. I know what kind of faculty are hired, and I know what's being taught behind the curtain. So I would give the parents and the grandparents that are listening right now this advice. Don't trust the four-color brochure. Anybody can put a nice brochure together that talks about their Christian heritage or Christian identity. Don't trust it. Pull the president of that institution aside that you think you want to send your kid to and ask him two simple questions. What's your view of truth and what's your view of Scripture? Be quiet. Listen. Does he say that truth is a revelation of God, an objective revelation, immutable, unchangeable? It's something to go out and embrace and find? Or does he tell you that it's a postmodern construct and a construct of culture and opinion? Does he believe the Bible is the Word of God? Or is it just another interesting book of literature? What's your view of truth and what's your view of Scripture? Now, I've added two additional questions to that in recent months. What's your view of marriage and what's your view of life? So what's your view of Scripture? What's your view of truth? What's your view of marriage and what's your view of life? If that college president can't tell you marriage is a sacrament of the church, my goodness, it's not something to be monkeyed with by the government. And life is defined by God, not you, and not Planned Parenthood. And truth is given by God, not by you, not made up by you or me, and that the Bible is the Word of God. If you don't hear that in clear terms, as clear as what I'm saying right now, don't send your kid to that school.
Amen. Amen. Well, I don't want to give away the whole book, but I would like just a little bit on what you mean by our education nightmare.
Well, we've created a nightmare for ourselves. Let me share an example of the Not a Daycare data. When I wrote the original opinion piece, which was only an 800-word essay, and it went viral, 3.5 million people read it within 2 weeks. We know that. We could see it on Limbaugh and Beck and O'Reilly and Drudge and Dreher. We could see the people that were clicking on the story. And as you know, those people have the opportunity to comment. So we decided to do a statistical analysis and figure out were the comments good or bad. Of the 3.5 million clicks, 97% of the comments were positive and 3% were negative. Now, what's the point? Why should people care? Well, the poster child of the positive is not the Christian. The poster child of the positive, the 97%, was the atheist faculty member from the University of Central Florida who sent me a hard copy letter and said, "Piper, I've read your Not a Daycare piece, period. I went to your website and tried to figure out who you are, period. As an atheist, I can easily dismiss both your religion and your politics, and I do, period. But on this issue, thank you, kudos. It needed to be said. Please carry on." Signed, Fulbright Scholar, University of Central Florida. That's the poster child of the positive. Now, who were the 3%? Who was the negative? The church.
Unbelievable.
It was the church, the Christian college faculty member, the youth pastor who thinks he's smarter than thou, who wrote me and said, "Shame on you."
Wow.
It's the atheist that wrote me and said, "Good for you." So what do I mean by educational nightmare? We've created this mess. We've been teaching this lousy ontology and epistemology and theology. We've been teaching these terrible ideas in the academy, and now this monster is turning around to consume us. But it's interesting. It's the atheist that recognizes this monster is getting me. It's the Christian who's living in a delusional world not recognizing that it's a problem. So it's an educational nightmare of our own making. We've created a mess. This monster is turning around to consume us. Now it's an opportunity because this atheist is begging for an answer. He's writing me and he's saying, "You're right. I don't agree with your religion or your politics, but you're right." What a wonderful opportunity for the gospel. What a wonderful opportunity to step into the gap and say, "Well, let's have a cup of coffee over why I'm right." This is a huge, huge opportunity. The world is begging for this answer.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've come to the end of the show, and thank you so much for stopping by and taking this time to talk to us.
Oh, honored. Thank you for having me.
We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.